Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Well, this past week, I was in Chicago, rather south Chicago there, about an hour's drive, doing my grandpa duty. My daughter-in-law, well, she works in the military, and so she had to go periodically. She's supposed to do this quarterly, but now they're having her do this, seems like monthly here the last few months. And she has to go, and when people are getting ready to deploy, she interviews them. She does HR kind of work before people go and that kind of thing. So she's gone for a week. Now, what that means is that my son, who's a supervisor at a chemical plant, that while he works 12-hour days, and he works a second shift. So he's working from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. So they need somebody to take the kids to school, pick them up after school, feed them supper, that kind of thing, put them into bed, and all that good stuff. Now, doing that's fine. That's fun stuff, so long as you're willing to deal with three boys ages 6, 5, and 2. Now, going there by myself, doing all that, well, sometimes getting them to eat is a challenge, you know, when you're fixing supper, because they all like different things, you know. So if you try and get everything together, it's like, well, sometimes they enjoy it, sometimes they don't. But there is one food that I found that they all enjoy eating, and that's oranges, particularly navel oranges, you know, the seedless oranges. Now, ever wonder where those came into existence, seedless orange? Way back in the day, they found a tree down on a plantation in Brazil that this tree, and only one tree, produced oranges that had no seeds in them. So, in 1872, somebody went down there from California and took four shoots growing off this tree. So, all right, so you know how a tree sends out shoots and running up, stuff like that, to create new trees. Well, they took four of those. And of those four, two died, but the other two lived. So here they are, these seedless trees are now growing there in Southern California. Trouble was is that they don't grow fast enough. You can't sit there and wait for these trees to get, you know, big enough to sit there and, you know, put out sprouts of their own. So what they did is that once it got big enough, they took branches that had blooms on them. The blooms are going to be a sign that there's going to be fruit growing off those. And they grafted those branches onto other orange trees. And thus began what we know as is the navel orange crop in all of America, all over the world. And if you think about it, that came from one and only one tree. So all these navel oranges that you have out there and all the different kinds that you have are all coming from this one tree that they found down in Brazil. Now, that's just one way in which fruit producers, you know, make sure that they get the most out of this precious resource that they have. In our gospel reading today, well, we have another way in which someone makes sure that they get the most out of the crop that they have before them. And so here we have an example of a vine, okay, a grapevine. And so what they're doing there is they're pruning this grapevine, and if there's something that is not producing any grapes on it, well, then what are they going to do? They're going to cut that branch off because they don't want the vine wasting its energy, its resources on growing something that's not going to produce anything. And those that are producing, well, you kind of trim it up a little bit better to make sure that you get even more out of it. So that's what we have here. Now, the people of Jesus' day, they're going to understand these farming concepts, and that's why he takes it a bit further, another step farther here. He says of himself, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Now, last week we looked at a gospel reading, and what we had, what? Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." This time he speaks about how he is, "I am the true vine." Now, this imagery of speaking about vines is, well, that's an old one. You see that in the Old Testament frequently, about how God plants his vine, and that's referring to Israel there, and he's hoping that it's going to produce good fruit. But many times it often did not. So then he would cut off those branches there and throw those in the fire, meaning that was judgment there for Israel. But Jesus, here he takes us a step closer to God when he refers to himself as the true vine, and his Father still remains the vine dresser, or you might call him the gardener. Now, what is it that Jesus says? He says that his Father, there, the gardener, comes along and checks the branches. again, as he's looking at each branch there, he wants to make sure that it's producing fruit. And if it's not producing fruit, well, then he cuts it off. But the ones that are good, well, he prunes again to make sure that it produces even more. Now, keep in mind here, as Jesus is sharing this information, he's sharing that with his disciples. And he continues by saying this, "You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Now, as Jesus is bringing this new concept here to his disciples, they must have had that look on their face like, huh? You know, they weren't getting it here. It's like, Jesus, you're doing this all the time. What are you talking about? Kind of look that he's sharing with them. And so, obviously, Jesus gets it here that he sees this on their faces. So he gets even more to the point. He says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Okay? So, Jesus is the vine. Okay, we get that part there. And we are the branches. And whoever lives and remains in the vine bears much fruit. Now, not a part of the vine, and you cannot produce fruit. Well, that makes sense. If you get cut off, just kind of like the example here that was being showed with the kids, you know, if you're not attached to the vine or the tree there, whatever, well, you're not going to get the water coming up out of the ground and the nutrients and stuff like that. You get cut off, you're going to die. So that's what Jesus is saying. If we're not connected to Jesus, then we're going to be like a branch that gets thrown away. It's been cut off. It's discarded. It withers, it dies, it's collected and thrown and burned in the fire. You see, what Jesus is talking about here is faith. If you want life, you must remain in the vine. If you want faith, you need to remain in Jesus. Now, at one time, the vine referred to Israel, but now it's Jesus. So what he's talking about here, the faithful ones of Israel, if you remain in the vine, meaning you remain in Jesus, then you are going to have life. And it's just not those of Israel. It's also talking about the Gentiles, too. That they are grafted into the vine, if you will. They didn't grow up with the faith. Rather, they were brought into the faith. But it doesn't matter whether you're brought up in the faith, you grew up in it, or you're grafted into it like the Gentiles were. The whole point is that are you a part of the vine? Again, being a part of the vine means life. Not just life now, but life eternal. And that all comes because of what Jesus came to do. He came to this earth, as he told the disciples there, to clean people, okay? To take away their sins. And he did that when he went to the cross there. And he planted those sins when he died down in the ground where they remain. But he rose from the grave alive, giving us hope. Hope of everlasting life. And that's given to all who believe in him. So if you believe in him, you remain part of the vine. But those who do not have a relationship with Jesus, okay, those who do not have faith, well, they are like those branches that are cut off from the vine and die. That person will be gathered up and discarded in hell. Well, they will be burned in the fire. Now, with that being the case, consider then the words that Jesus shares again right after this. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Now, some might say there, that's like, wow, you know, Jesus is saying if that we pray to him, we can get whatever we want. Isn't that awesome? Now, people tend to take it this way, though. It's like, you know, if I want to go steal this car over here, God, I expect you to help me out with that. Or, Lord, make that person love me. Really? You know, is God going to sit there and answer that prayer by helping you break one of his commandments? He's not going to do that. So don't be praying like that, expecting to get results and then be disappointed because God doesn't answer it that way. No. You got to be praying within his will. Okay? That means listening to what Jesus has to say, living your life the way God wants you to. He wants to answer your prayers. Why? Well, namely this. He gets the credit for answering them in the first place. Because when you pray to him and he answers it, it's like, oh, you're thinking, thanks, God. He wants to hear that. And when he hears that, he's receiving the glory. He's seeing that you are taking that faith that you have and putting your trust in him. See, that's important because we have all kinds of distractions that come our way. We've got good days. We've got bad days. But in all of those situations, we need to rely on him. Again, it shows your faith in God. It shows that you are remaining a part of the vine, abiding his word, meaning that you're listening to the Lord and living your life the way you should. And so you need to hang in there with Jesus, okay? He says, abide in my words there. My words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish. Pray to the Father in heaven and lift up your cares, your concerns, your petitions, your requests, and it will be given to you. Now, why does Jesus say this? Again, because it will bring God the glory. People will see that you indeed are a disciple of Christ. That's what Jesus wants to see, that you're one of his followers. And how is it that you're going to bear that kind of fruit? And what is that? Well, just like we're talking about the kids, love one another. That's a great source there. Show compassion to others. You know, all kinds of different things. Helping the needy, praising God for all those things that are given to you, but also give thanks for those things that are taken away from you as well. That's just as important too. And so when you're doing that, well, you're giving thanks to God for all those blessings because he wants to bless you. Kind of like my grandkids when I'm giving them supper there and it's like, hey, Grandpa, can I have some more? Who doesn't want to hear that, right? Who doesn't want to hear that? Same way it is with the Heavenly Father. When you're being blessed by him and you're recognizing those blessings that he's given to you, he wants to hear that thanks too. Can I have some more? Sure, he wants to give you more. He wants to bless you over and over and over again. Why? Because of your faith, your trust in him. You're remaining a part of the vine. And in that vine, we have life. We have forgiveness. We have eternal life through Jesus, the one and true and only Savior in all the heavens and earth, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.